World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Now, I kind of said it yesterday, the hardest part of doing what it is that I do here. By the way, I use dollar store glasses. And these glasses, I don't even work. That way I don't worry about if I lose them. I'll put on the dark rims of this morning. The hardest part of this is every morning when I get up and go before the Lord and, you know, try to prepare the show, what is it, Lord, you want us to talk about? That's because, you know, a lot of people come to enjoy Coach Dave Live for the fellowship. Some enjoy it because they learn things. Some enjoy it because they agree. A lot of reasons why. And I try every day to make it a mixture of spiritual growth and what's going on all around us. And I think that we have to understand this, all of us. Me, I'm talking to me. We can't be afraid to know the truth, folks. We can't be afraid of the truth. Scripture says it's only the truth that sets us free. And so a lot of times it seems like maybe I step on sacred cows, stab sacred cows or whatever. I don't do that. Well, I don't do that on purpose. I just got questions. And I know this, that what we have here every morning, you talk about a cross-section of people in here. It's unbelievable. And so when we throw a piece of meat there out there on the table, can't take it personally. If you look, I learned this a long time ago. If you can't defend what you believe, if you get mad when somebody questions what you believe, maybe you don't really believe it. Maybe we've all been, I hate to use that term, propagandized. And that's what I tried to talk about yesterday. And then, I love the reactions I get from people send me, well, Coach, have you seen this? Coach, have you seen this? Coach, have you seen this? And my head just starts spinning. No, I haven't seen that. No, I haven't seen that. And only the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And yesterday I kind of took on Catholicism. I wasn't trying to take on Catholicism. I could take on Baptists. I could take on Church of Gods. I could take on Church of Gods in Christ. I could take it all on. I could take on Mormonism. And it's not really whether or not I'm taking on what you believe. It's this. Why do you believe what you believe? Who told you that? And can you defend that? That's really all it is. And again, I said yesterday, and the point that I tried to make yesterday, folks, Christianity is a personal religion. It is not an organization. But we are built in such a way that we want to take something and organize it. We want to put somebody in charge. We want to have a board. We want to have a do's and don'ts. It's our human nature. When I stand before the Lord and you stand before the Lord at that great white throne judgment, my pastor in there, my Rush Limbaugh ain't going to be standing there with me. It's going to be me and the Lord, me and the Lord. When he says, Coach Dave, I don't know what that's going to go. I don't know what that meeting will go like. But when he says to me, Coach Dave, why were you teaching this? Well, I'm just assuming, right? Why were you telling people that? And I'm going to say, well, because whoever told me, well, why didn't you come and say what I, huh? You with me? And so I don't even know what I believe. Can I be honest with you? I don't even know what I believe. I don't know what I believe about the end times. I know what some of you believe. I don't know what I believe. I don't really know. Could you right now, see, somebody told me this a long time ago. I was a teacher, whatever that means. We're all supposed to be teachers. I was a public school teacher, trained teacher. Let me say that. And somebody said something to me a long time ago, I never forgot. It says, buddy, if you can't defend it, you shouldn't believe it. I thought, dude, huh? How much stuff do you believe that you can't defend? Now, listen, some of it's by faith. Some of it we won't know. We will not know. Bible's clear even on that, right? Yeah, that's right, Dale. Study to show yourself approved. At least when I come to you here in the morning, I can say, I throw this piece of meat on the table, and I'm willing to say to you, have you looked at this? I don't know how I feel about this. And you may be out there, and you may have a totally different opinion than me, but don't get mad at me. There's thousands of people that are watching here. We're not all in the same place. I saw again today, they're predicting 50,000 denominations in the next 10 years. 50,000. How can that possibly be from one message of Jesus Christ to go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age? How do we get to that mess? How do we get that mess? And that's what I try to come in here and do every day. Don't get mad at me. I'm not goring your hog. I'm asking the questions that I see. It pops up. And man, boy, that makes sense. Why do you believe? Come on now. Why does anybody believe 911 story? Why does anybody believe that with the information we have today? Why are people still wearing masks? I could go on and on and on with a litany. I'm going to get into that a little bit today because it's called propaganda. Okay, hang on. Before I get too far, pull up Spencer number 4. We're going to be launching here in the next couple of days on the national event. We'd love for you to be able to come. And folks, look, I want to encourage you this. This is Airbnb. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Airbnb or not. Airbnb, Thornville, Ohio, Buckeye Lake, Ohio. Click on that first place right there, Spencer. A cottage in Thornville. It's just around the corner. All right? Look at this. $925 for 5 nights. Now, first of all, you're not going to stay 5 nights. You're going to stay 3 nights. But I'm sure Ray won't mind me saying this. Ray's bringing a group of people down for the event. How many people are you bringing, Ray?
There'll be 5 of us, Dave.
5 people coming down from Wisconsin. They need a place to stay. They could go to a hotel and pay $150 a night for a hotel. 3 of them pay for, right? So, or you could get an Airbnb. And Ray, you have 3 nights in an Airbnb that sleeps 6 people and a dog. And how much does it cost, Ray?
$600. And you got the run of the place.
$600. Mm-hmm. Folks, you get it? So if you're interested, say, Coach, I've never heard about Airbnb. Folks, you're renting somebody's house. You're renting a house. So if you're interested in that, email me, and I'll send you some links. And it's so easy to go online and register and go stay there. And I'll make sure that if you go through me, I'll make sure you're in a safe area, close area, place like that. Because really, all you're going to do is sleep there. That's all you're going to do. Otherwise, you're going to be at sky high the whole time and hanging out with each other. And then you're going to go home, take a shower. Go to bed. So, you know, think that you're going to spend $160 a night for a hotel, 2 of you? Come on now. So, and at the Airbnb, you can, you know, husband and wife have 1 bedroom, and husband and wife have another bedroom. So I'm willing to help with that kind of stuff, okay? We'd love to have you to come, man. Love to have you come. All right, you can take it off of there. Let's see. What else? Any other information? Somebody asked me, what's the program? Talking to Chad last night, I got a call from Chad. We're going to hear from you. We're not bringing in experts. Do we need anybody else to come in and tell us more about chemtrails, or somebody to come in and tell us more about theological issues and about the Masons? And I mean, we all need it. We all get that, right? We don't need that. The purpose of our event is, number 1, fellowship. You get a chance to look eyeball to eyeball into people that you only see through here. And you'll be surprised at people that you will lock up with, and you'll walk across and say, aren't you? Yeah. Are you Ray? Yeah, hi, Ray. And so it's great, great fellowship. It is. And this year we're going to have people going to testify, present about what they're doing, because we want you to be able to plug in and leave with something you can initiate and do right where you live. We don't need more information about what the Illuminati are doing and about the Nephilim. And I mean, all that stuff will probably come up, but we're not going to bring in somebody that's going to stand and talk before you for an hour on a topic like that. Okay. It's going to be fellowship, rich in fellowship. It's going to be relaxing. It's going to be good. And we'd love you to come. And the price is, what do we say? Well, I don't know what we figured out. $59. Folks, that includes your meals. Have you been to Wendy's lately? Do you know what you pay for a meal? Wendy's, right? So that includes all your meals and all that kind of stuff. I had to rent a Jiffy John's. I got to rent a tent. So we have expenses that are involved with it. And just say, well, Coach, it's my donation to Coach Dave Live. Look at it however you want to look at it. Okay, cool. Let me move on here. Anybody have a question? Anything about that? Anything to say? Folks, we'd love to see you. You will be so encouraged when you're able to rub shoulders, fellowship with brothers. I'm just telling you. If you can get here, get here. Anybody for good of the group here before I move on? Let me, whoops, I'm on the wrong page here on my screen. No?
Let me ask you a question. Coach, real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey. I'm trying to plan on coming, and I want to chat with everybody, but my biggest goal is to hug Mama. I cannot wait to hug Betty. I can't. Hug Betty. I can't wait to hug that woman. You know, and then, and this is like, you need a getaway weekend. Come. I mean, we're just going to it's going to be a place where you just get to be. And you get to be with people and make good memories. That's right? Because this is really heavy, all this stuff. And it doesn't matter how you learned what you believe or how you did. Together, we're on a team and we bring our different... We have different positions. We have different goals. We have different things we're supposed to do to make it work. And we don't have to agree with you. We can agree to disagree.
That's right. That's right.
And this is a blessing. And we'll figure it out together instead of being isolated and think you're all, you know, I'm going to offend somebody, an alcoholic or a drug addict, or you're in isolation because you think, because you're alone in your addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, this way you're not. So you're we're all in recovery together. So
it's family, man. It's family. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't afford it, let us know. We don't want anybody not to be able to come because they can't afford it. Okay. If we'll figure out a way to get you here. We'll figure out a way. Right. I'll throw you under a tent. There's things that we can do. And we would love for you to be part of it. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, Coach, it's such a great fellowship, and it'll be my third or fourth year in a row, but it's so much bigger than Ohio State Buckeyes, Texas Longhorns, that cheating team out of Ann Arbor. It's so much better to get the team together with our coach. We're all on your coaching tree. I can't wait to fellowship with everybody.
Amen, brother. Amen. So when you're not going to come and have a lot of people pump a lot of information at you. We're going to have actual individuals within the crew. Craig will do a teaching. I'm just throwing names out. Craig will do one. Randy will do one. Whatever. Giving you an opportunity to plug in to something that's near and dear to your heart. See, whatever the Lord, whatever you think about along a time, whatever bothers you, the Lord's given you that desire. You understand? The Bible says that he will give you the desires of your heart. And they've told us in the name it and claim it branch of Christianity, that whatever your heart wants, he's going to give to you. That's not what that scripture says, friends. It says he will give you the desire of your heart. If you have a desire to get involved with the homeless, let me take Craig Mickle, for instance. Craig Mickle got burdened by trafficking and did something about it. What? God gave him that desire. God put that desire in Craig. God let Craig see, this is a mess. Will you do something about it? God gave him the desire of his heart. And then Craig said, man, this really bothers me. I'm going to act upon it. What's the desire of your heart? What is it that you are drawn to, that you want to be part of, that concerns you? That's why we're here. We want to help plug you in. We don't want you to have to reinvent the wheel. If you're concerned about child trafficking, in your area, we'll plug you into Craig. If you want to learn how to stake your community, we'll plug you into Randy. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're going to give you the ability to make a difference, whatever your heart's desire is. Where plug you in to where you feel most comfortable. And we'd love you to come. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Good morning, everyone. I'm greatly looking forward to it. And Coach is hearing this for the first time himself. If I get the opportunity, I'd love to share about music in the body of Christ. I've been involved in this. That's a ministry that God put in my life. I've been involved. And it's something that's seldom, if ever, taught on in the church. And God has revealed a lot of things to me, and it's called evolution or whatever you want to call it. It's an interesting track that the church has taken, and I just wanted to share what I've learned and what God has showed me, and I look forward to if I get the opportunity to do that.
Bring your guitar, man. Bring your guitar. Oh, yeah, I had a good conversation with Chad last night, what stuff that Chad wants to get in and talk about. So this is what we want it to be, a free flow of ideas and time of refreshing, getting to know each other, know you're not alone, yada, 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 right? Cool. What do I want to show you today, man? What do I want? Golly. Where am I going to start? Okay, do number one, just because I put it up there, number one. I don't know why. Friends, I'm more and more convinced. I'm not a doctor. I don't know any doc. I do know some doctors. I'm more and more convinced that they kept ivermectin from us for a reason. Spencer, can you get number one up? There's a pop-up. I'm sorry, bud. Okay, now look. I'm not a doctor. But I know people who are. I'm not a fool. Ivermectin, we talked about this yesterday. This is just another amen from yesterday. Ivermectin and finbendazole, a potent blend. This is only a minute and a half. Listen to this.
This might be the most important health discovery of the last 50 years, and almost nobody's talking about it. It's about the single most overlooked cause of chronic disease in the modern world. For years, we've been told that when things go really wrong in the body, you know, stage four kind of wrong, the only options are to burn it, cut it, or poison it. But what if that entire model is missing the real root cause? Because what I've seen and what modern research is finally starting to confirm is that parasites may be the hidden trigger behind many of the worst health breakdowns we face. I'm not talking about rare bugs from overseas. I mean microscopic organisms, protozoa, helminths that most people get from everyday things, tap water, produce, undercooked meat, even pets.
They hide. Stop it a second. Think about that. Just think about that. What might be coming into our bodies, water, chemtrails, stuff from pets, food, what they put on the food, process it. What might be coming into our bodies that we don't even know? The label doesn't say anything to us, and we eat this stuff over and over and over. What if it's a parasite in it? What if cancer, really? What if it's a parasite? What if it's a bug? And they're trying to cut it out and trying to... I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know. But I believe parasites are real. Keep on going.
And they quietly steal your nutrients, dump waste into your body, and suppress your immune system's ability to find and fight abnormal cells. That's when the real problems begin. But here's what's exciting. Scientists have rediscovered two powerful compounds, ivermectin and fenbendazole, that were originally used to eliminate these parasites quickly and effectively. But now they're being studied for their ability to help the body lower inflammation, improve immune clarity, support healthy cell turnover, and even starve out harmful cell activity before it takes hold. It's not a treatment, it's a full body reset. And when you remove what's been silently attacking your system, the results can be dramatic. There's actually one product I recommend. I have no affiliation with it, but the...
Because he wants to recommend a product. I don't care about the recommendation of the product. The premise behind it is so critically important. Did you guys see, I don't have a link to it. I was going to, but I didn't. Did you see what President Trump did with pharmaceutical prices? Did you see that? Did you guys know that we're paying sometimes 100 times more than they're paying in other countries? That America is subsidizing the pharmaceutical companies around the world? And that President Trump said, no more. We're going to pay what everybody else is paying, right? Now, we know the control that the pharmaceutical companies have on Congress, right? We know that, don't we? We know they're all Paulton's. I'm going to show you something on that here in a second as well. And so what will happen? See, so many of the things that we're dealing with right now, if we don't deal with them now, we will never deal with them again. And I saw this, which was disheartening to me, for me. All the cuts. And still Congress is raising the spending level. What's going on? Well, it takes a long time to tighten your belt, Bennett. Those of us who tried to lose weight, we know it takes a while. So there's going to be some pain involved with what's going on around us. We have to understand that our children and our grandchildren cannot live in this governmental system. Now, Ray, I just saw something right there. Jane's been battling some issues. Your wife, Jane's been battling some issues. And you've been using alternative things. Is that right, Ray?
Yeah, it's been working tremendously. That combination with prayer and some fasting. But these two elements, Dave, fenbendazole and ivermectin, I think those were the key factors that really made the whole thing turn. And she's cancer-free. It looked really bad for a while there, but nine months.
They wanted to get her in there. Cut stuff off and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was the next thing they wanted to do is cut her breast off and radiate her, radiation treatment through her. And it just ruined the scar of the life. And here's the answer right in front of us. I'm glad it's getting out. I'm glad it's getting out. Praise the Lord.
I know that you give the Lord the credit, Ray. I understand that. But the reality is the Lord led you to remdesivir. And what's the name of the other one?
Yeah, fenbendazole. And I'll tell you, Coach, where did I get that information? I got it here on the Coach Dave Live show here. This is an avenue where we discuss so many different topics that are really helpful to the whole body of Christ. And this is one where I got the encouragement and Jane to go down this path. So kudos to that.
Ray, you have to get desperate first, don't you? You have to get desperate.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? So I'm going to either try this or let him whack off parts of my body. I think I'll try this first, right? And you're going to be surrounded by people. I'm propaganda. We're going to talk about that here in a second. We're constantly surrounded by people who are propagandized. That's why I was talking about yesterday with religion. Much of religion is propaganda. Hang on a minute, Spencer. Pull up Webster. I don't even know if they had it back then. What is propaganda? There you go. See, I don't even know if they had it. What is propagandism? What is that? Or propagandists? What is propaganda? The art or practice of propagating tenets or principles. In other words, propaganda, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. Trust this, right? Take vaccine. That's propaganda. The people to spread, to extend, to impel, or continue forward in space. Propaganda. See, folks, listen, propaganda isn't a bad thing. Propaganda is how it's used. It's how it's used, okay? So we're after all that. Okay, pull up real quick, Brian Artis, number 6. Dr. Brian Artis, you guys know him? Chiropractor, Dr. Brian Artis. Biggest health scandal in history, according to Dr. Brian Artis, remdesivir. Go ahead, play this.
Throughout America, we're incentivized $150,000 to $500,000 extra for every completed COVID-19 hospitalized protocol that ended in death for that patient.
There are doctors in these hospitals and they're seeing these things. How come no one's doing anything about that? How come no one did anything about it?
The hospital administrators and board directors of all hospitals in America, whether it's a nonprofit hospital or profit hospital, the majority of them are bankers. Did you know that?
No.
And guess what they care about the most? The bottom line. So when the government was incentivizing all hospitals that if you'll just PCR test everybody that walks through your door, for every positive COVID-19 patient diagnosis we get, for every 10 days of remdesivir and the death certificate saying COVID-19 killed them, we will give your hospital for every patient a 20% add-on bonus to the whole bill if you'll just do that. And guess who was paying that out to all hospitals? Medicare was. our government insurance company was paying and bribing hospitals with a 20% add-on bribe to poison our senior citizens with a drug known to cause acute kidney failure in 24 hours, which the World Health Organization people in November of 2020, after my 5 months of preaching in the media the deadly side effects of the drug remdesivir, the World Health Organization, you can look it up online, finally came out and said, we do not recommend a single COVID-19 hospitalized patient in the whole world be given remdesivir. Hospitals throughout.
Is that unbelievable, friends? Is that unbelievable? Now, look, connect the dots here. Why remdesivir to old people? Because old people are expensive. Old people are expensive. We would hate to say this, wouldn't we? That they didn't mind killing off several million people, get them off of the Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security train. Huh? Oh, yeah. We hate to think that. But folks, there's a devil. There's a devil loose. Why can't we understand that this, the battle for truth, justice, and the American way, as Superman would say, is playing out right before us? The devil isn't over sitting in a corner counting his money. He's actively involved. The other side's got angels, and we're supposed to be actively involved too, but we don't get it. We don't get it. We have been taught to trust those who we should least trust. What do you think, George? Did I make you mad?
No. No, I was going to say that I saw a thing that the United States makes up 4% of the world population, and we are 75% of the drug use in the world when it comes to that. That's and then the other thing I just saw, too, that there was a doctor in Malaysia, I think it was, that was actually found guilty of the COVID vaccine and all that stuff and killing of people. And they're saying that that will set a major precedent going forward with doctors being held accountable for what they've done.
Unbelievable, folks. You know what he just told us, right? Evidence now, evidence. A court has ruled, yes, the treatment killed him. Yes, the treatment killed him. That opens the door, man. Off to the races, the way I see it. These folks must be held accountable, friends. They have to be. Thanks for that. Thanks for that info, George. Hang on a second. I'm going to bring you in here. Denny, I'll get you right in just a second. I want to show you something here. Can I show you some other propaganda real quick? Huh? Pull up number 7. Pull up number 7 for me, Denny. It's everywhere, friends. The truth is always opposed. How about this? Huh? School's now celebrating Special People Day instead of Mother's Day. Are we going to stand for this kind of crap again? Special People's Day? Rather than Mother's Day. JR, they're after you, JR. They're after you. They're actually doing it in a Michigan elementary school, generate lots of media buzz over its decision to do away with Mother's Day and do Special People's Day. Destruction of God's plan for the family. Come on in, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. So Coach, I blurted out curb stomp. That's exactly what Trump did. He told a story that related to everyone and curb stomped the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Remember when they were complaining about Elon Musk talking to people because he was a rich guy, he was talking to people? It's because he can relate to people. Those other oligarchs like Fink, Larry Fink, all these other freaks, they can't talk to people. All they can do is shout stupid demands.
Vinny, they don't even see them as people. They don't even see them as people. They see them as useless eaters, right?
Boom.
They don't care about them. So you talk about a boom. What if the average person sees their medical expenses go down because they've lowered the true price of pharmaceuticals? You know, I was taken there for a while. I was taking that stuff called Eliquis. It was like $300 a month. Unbelievable. And then Eliquis over in England or over in other parts, it's $10 a month. So the American system, again, is financing the pharmaceutical company around the world. Eileen, come on in.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Coach.
Eileen, this is a great show. Isn't this a great show, Eileen? This is amazing.
I'm here every morning.
Go ahead, dear.
Got to get my shot. of coach, amen. That is.
Amen.
Let's not forget Scott Shara, his upcoming trial starting, I believe, June 2nd.
Yes.
And a case of first impression to hold these hospitals accountable and putting a forged DNA, do not resuscitate, DNR, yeah. Into his daughter's file. They say,
folks, we're going to have Scott on either later on this week or early next week to talk about it, because he is going there. And if those people are up in that area, if we could fill the courtroom, it would really, really help. But Eileen, the evidence is falling his way. It's clearly falling his way, right?
I mean, yes.
We know they killed his daughter.
Well, for the judge to allow the case to move forward, yeah. Was only by divine intervention.
Only by divine, yep. They fought for all their worth to keep that out of the courts, for sure, for sure. So we're gonna have Scott on next. Well, he and I got a finite figure. I was talking to him yesterday, texting with him yesterday, and so we're gonna make that happen. This is huge. If Scott Shar wins that they killed his daughter, the floodgates are open anyway, folks. We're in unbelievable times. Judd, thanks, Eileen.
Yeah, Coach, it's when you see these moves happen, they're absolutely fascinating. I can speak from a position of having been there, going through a leukemia battle, and then to come to find out that leukemia was actually patented in 1976 as a bioweapon. And so then you get there and say, okay, well, in 1978, they patented a drug called ibrutinib. Now, ibrutinib sat on the shelf until 2005. And so this drug sat on the shelf until 2005. They had it there, but it was able to help out patients with leukemia and technically be a cure. You know, that company went back to a company that, pharmaceutical company, that's connected to this entire rot. But this drug, for me, to had taken every month for years. I'm off it now. But for years, the cost of it was like $12,000 a month.
Oh.
and when you look at that, I think they got it down to like $10,000 a month.
Oh, that's nice of them. Was it gold? What?
Say you have insurance. An insurance covers, say, a portion of that. That person is then paying out of their pocket to cover the balance or not.
Right.
And if they lose their job, God forsake, they lose their job, and then they lose their insurance, and then they have to pay for this. And then the university or hospital says, well, we can't give it to you anymore because you can't afford it. What do people do? They die off.
Right.
And the question is how many people acquired not only this, but were having to use this drug? And you think about it from Trump's perspective, I don't know what the cost will go down to. However, it was something that was able to help for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the solutions, when you get into ivermectin and fenbendazole, actually were the salt that solved it. And if you think about it, they're minimal. You know, $50 here, maybe $100 here for a month, or $6. So $6 versus $10,000 per month.
By the way, Judd, they're not charging $10,000 per month in other countries. It's only in America that we're doing that, see?
Well, it's happening in some other countries too. But the point is, they showed the world what this big pharmaceutical evil empire was doing.
Yeah.
And then if people anyone wants to point a finger, I don't know anybody else who's willing to pull the rug out from underneath them and then expose and show these people what they were doing. And so now this gets wilder. I'm going somewhere with this. So this drug that was patented in the late 70s is sitting on the shelf. And Janssen Pharmaceuticals, along with Pfizer and AstraZeneca, their headquarters just happened to be where? Located? Anybody know? Ukraine.
Grand Rapids.
Well, Grand Rapids, yeah, there is some starts there, but okay. in Ukraine.
Ukraine. Oh.
And so this leukemia, just think about this. This bioweapon, if you just happen to get it into someone's other body somehow, their body starts replicating cells at a fast rate to where they basically explode from the inside out. And their DNA gets compromised. And say you put that on the border of a country, and it's dialed into other people's DNA specifically to get rid of a certain population.
Amen.
Do you see what's happening here?
Yes. Yes.
Thank God Putin was able to put a bomb in the headquarters of these pharmaceutical corporations, and they didn't have to blame Trump for it.
Amen. Amen. Oh, nothing hidden that will not be revealed, folks. Nothing hidden. Man, oh man. Okay. Thanks, Judd. So let me help you out here. I came across this morning. Really, really good. Number three, pull that up there for me. Because one of the themes that we had yesterday on the show was propaganda. Hey, listen. There's propaganda in the church as well, folks. Propaganda in the church. Why? Because the devil is always attacking truth. You understand that? He's always attacking and undermining the truth. And that's why I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. Maybe Spencer, maybe you can Google it. I don't know. Where they said there'll be 54,000 different denominations. And I think he said in 10 years. Because why? Because people grab a hold of a doctrine, and when the church doesn't agree with them, they start their own denomination. And look at it. Look at where we are. What was Jesus' prayer? That we would all be one? Are we all one? Huh? Are we all one? So, stay right here. Go ahead. Stay right there, Spence. Good catch. Pull, go to the top of the page, everybody. We estimate that Christians are now found in nearly 45,000 denominations. By the way, folks, this is 2019. The range in size from millions of members to fewer than 100 members, and are listed for each of the world's 234 countries. Why so many denominations? Throughout the history of Christianity, followers of Christ have struggled to express solidarity and unity. Jesus' prayer in John 17 was an indication that divisions might be a problem in the nascent community. While multiple expressions of Christianity have existed from the earliest days of the church, the most serious disagreements resulted in splits that propelled different traditions of Christianity in divergent directions. Now, we know the Protestant movement came out against the universal Catholic Church. Martin Luther pounded the theses on the door, 84 theses, charges against the Catholic Church. And Protestant protestism was began then. We understand that, right? But later splits seem to be based on the idea that each Christian could decide for themselves what church should look like. An anecdote from a man stranded on a desert island illustrates one of the issues. After many years, a ship sails close by the island, and the man is rescued. And the ship's captain comes ashore and notices that there are three huts that the men built. And he says, "Tell me, what about these huts?" And the man says, "Well, the first hut is my home. The second hut is my church." The captain says, "Well, what's the third hut?" The man replies, "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." Studies from the Pew Research Center have shown a lot of switching between Christian denominations in the United States. And by 2025, there will be likely 49,000 denominations. Is this staggering, folks? Staggering. Each one of them, by the way, believing they have the truth. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. Is that the end of it? So there's the desert island, right? Did I read all that? Are we back at the top? Doesn't matter. Oh, you get what's going on, right? Hey, Rob, go back there. That was it. Family as the basis. That's what I'm trying to tell all of you. Family as a basis for Christian unity. Friends, flee large churches. Develop a family. of people who really know you and you really know, and you take interest in them and they take interest in you. And many, me, my whole life, I remember I used to go to World Harvest Church. They had 5,000 people, and I loved going to World Harvest Church because the music was good and the preaching was good, and I knew nobody in that church. Nobody. Nobody. I was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, I was sued by the ACLU for praying with our football team while going to World Harvest Church, and they never acknowledged it. Now, why didn't they acknowledge it? They probably didn't even know I was there. They didn't even know I was there. They probably all knew about the coach who had been sued, but they had no idea. They were just sitting right in the middle of the church. No idea. So Christianity, church, is family. Not cult, because that's what they'll say to you. Some of you are already hearing, oh, you're that cult, you Coach Dave Live cult. No, dude, it's family.
Amen.
We care about one another. We lay our differences aside, and we care for and take care of one another. And the larger the church becomes, the less likely that is going to happen. So that's kind of where I am. Judd's got his hand back up. Go ahead. I'm all over the place today. I think it's all good, though. Go ahead, Judd.
Coach, you said something that I just got to point out, and it's from experience again. I guarantee 100% somebody in their earpiece was told, Coach Dave's over there in row two. Whatever you do, do not recognize what he's going through.
Do not recognize it. What, Judd, what do you think?
Hang on. Security. Okay, he's on the list. Guys, make sure he's not able to get near the pastor. When this happens, when we have this event, he's on the list. Just make sure that he can say what he needs to say, but make sure it's not said near the pastor.
Wow.
Why do I know this? Because it happened to me.
Because you were the security guy too at one point, weren't you, Judd?
And we always got the list of who's not supposed to be near them. And when a prominent pastor or a prominent person called an accountant was removed from someone's staff, this will come out in their trial probably. This was a good, honest, decent person who was defamed and told to leave the church and was not allowed on the grounds again. Why? Why? Because they knew what they were doing. And they turned the flock against them. It's a recipe. It's how they always operate. That's how Ken Copeland's model operates.
God's anointed, right, Judd?
As soon as they don't want someone to talk, they ruin their character.
Oh, man.
It's illegal.
Amen. Oh, boy. Boom, Vinny says. I'm with you, Vinny. Randy, good to hear from you, Randy.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Hey, I have a good scripture here. I have the solution, Coach. I don't, but the Word of God does. Let's say, if you got a minute, we want to go this way, Coach.
Go.
Isaiah 66:1-2.
By the way, I don't know which direction you're going to go.
Coach, I'm going to give you the answer with the problem with the denominations. We don't need any of them. Read this, Coach.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my stool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
So, Coach, where is he going to build? Where is he going to, what's he going to inhabit? The building or the man, the woman that has a humble heart and they tremble at his word?
Amen.
See, the moment we put a name over our identity and we want to say, look at what we did, I'm sorry, but you just...
Competition comes up, Randy. Starts competition. Our church is better than
you. We don't need it. We have a house church group. We don't have a name, Coach. Why, man? You know, if we have a star and we want to make it about a business, then probably we need to name it so we can bring in money. But we don't need a name, Coach. It's irrelevant, and we don't need an association to govern it. We don't need a Springfield, Missouri, to run the Assemblies of God. First of all, we don't need it. That's all. It's all a broken system. It's worthless.
Yes, it is.
So Coach Stephen, in the Book of Acts, Acts 7:48. He weighs in on this. He's going to quote Isaiah, and here's what he said. Stephen said, "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands." So, Coach, can we understand the new covenant is about the people? Isn't our government the people too, Coach? Or is it the institutions up there in D.C.? You see what? It's the same problem. It's the same problem, Coach. We've made the church around an institution rather than the Spirit of God, an entity, a living, moving, unhindered entity. And we've created something. We got a problem because we created the problem, Coach.
Yep, we have.
See what we have to get back to? Simple.
It's simple, brother. It's a long way back on that, man. Long way. See, folks, this isn't the 1950s and 1960s when we didn't have television, we didn't have the internet. You had local churches, and people were families. Now, you don't even go to church on Sunday. You sit home and watch something on TV, right? Well, that's good. It may feed you, but what does that do from a fellowship standpoint? Do you get to know anybody when you do that? Or is Christianity just about you and the Lord? Is that what it is? We've done it to ourselves. Dale, come on in.
Oh my goodness, Randy, you weren't even here yesterday. Man, you want to talk about putting pieces together. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. There's nothing. What house have you have built? Remember Hoshua, right? What's his name? The strong arm of man, the man who builds his own church. Verses changed to Joshua, the strong and mighty arm of the Lord, the salvation, the strength of the Lord. We build our churches, Coach. That's our own strength. God says, I have made you. You are my temple in which I dwell in now. Our physical being, Coach, was created by God for his glory, and that's where his residence desires to reside, is within us. And then when we come together, get what? Those pieces fit together. But Randy, that was awesome, because it fits right in. Why? That's what I said. I was asking, why isn't my church booming, right, Coach? Well, right. Because people love their programs. People love their denominations. Yep. People love their Hoshua, the strong. Look at our church, Coach. Look at our church.
Yep. Amen. 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 And folks, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. And again, then, Dale, it comes back to me. Randy, it comes back to the fact that they're entities of their own. For the most part, the pastors in town, I don't know how I always end up on this, they don't even communicate with each other. It never enters their mind that the Methodist pastor on the corner would work together with the Baptist pastor on the other corner to impact their communities. No, it's because they want to build their denomination. Look, they may be doing it with a good heart. They may believe we've got the truth. We want people. Easy peasy. It's destroying us, man. Joe Allen.
To go on what Dale said, not only that, they want to be out in 45 minutes to an hour out of service. They don't want to do 3 to 4 hours on a Sunday just to worship the Lord. They want out real quick. I got to leave about an hour.
Mm.
Boom.
Joe, here's another one for you. It happened to me last weekend. Our grandson playing Little League Baseball. How old is he? 7? We had a tournament, a 7-year-old baseball tournament on 10 years old. Thanks, Michelle. I knew he's older than 7. He's 10 years old. It's a baseball tournament. When? Sunday morning. And when I went to the game, I couldn't even find a place to park. everybody there to watch their child, their grandchild on Sunday morning, and not a peep, not a peep from the pastors. What are we doing? By the way, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? That's a whole nother debate. But to think, I looked around, I wear my cross out everywhere I go. I'm thinking, man, I'm a freak, but I'm just as guilty as they are. I'm not keeping the Sabbath holy. I'm here watching Davey play baseball. It's subtle. It's subtle. And it's not about legalism and following rules and regulations. It's about the heart. It's an issue of the heart. So that's kind of how I justify, good or not, when I go on Sunday morning to one of my grandkids' ball games, I'm going to be a light where I am. Be a light where I am. Not go sit in a box. Glenn, what do you think?
Yeah, I had the same experience. Our grandson, who just will turn four shortly, I said to his mom and dad, I said, hey, if you want to enroll James in a soccer program or a T-ball program, because they have these signs around here. It's called I-9 Sports for little kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, listen, I'll because they have a new baby, so they just had their second child. So I said, I'll take them to practice. Oh yeah, she said, we looked into that, but their games are on Sunday mornings.
Huh? Amazing, right? And no peep from the church. Well, that's a whole nother story. It's amazing. It's everywhere. Dale.
Sorry, I forgot to take my hand down, Coach.
Okay, Craig. Come on, Craig.
I'll put a couple things in chat. This ties into what, you know, Randy's saying. Okay. I was just reading in Saul today on Samuel about Saul. And when it says the Spirit of the Lord parted from Saul, right? So one of the things I think that we really haven't been taught or really explained very well in the churches is that after Christ, the Holy Spirit was available to all men. Amen. It wasn't that the Spirit of the Lord was not active in certain men in the Old Testament, but it wasn't necessarily available to all men to dwell within and to follow and communicate with the Lord and to get direction. And so when the Spirit of that Lord, he ended up getting a distressing, and it says that Spirit ended up going on to David. Okay. So then when you go to the New Testament, right, which is the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all one Testament, says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Mm-hmm. And so we don't operate in the Holy Spirit. The quote unquote church doesn't really preach and teach. We shouldn't be, we don't need to preach, but we do need to teach. And that's where I think one of our biggest things is, because we have power in the Holy Spirit to be his agents on earth.
Well, Craig, you put into the chat, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. An evil spirit from the Lord? Whoa. And then the phrase, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. A lot of legalism. A lot of, I'm in charge, sit down, be quiet. Don't call, don't speak up, don't raise your hand in church. A lot of it. Elder boards. What's the purpose of an elder board? Well, they say to check the finances, but really, purpose of the elder board's to protect the pastor, is it not? Isn't that really what it is? So, oh yeah, he's here to hold us accountable. Well, there's the truth to that. But really, there aren't a whole lot of people welcome on the elder board that don't agree with the pastor. Dale.
Yeah, so yeah, the elders are different than what we mostly have as financial boards or deacon boards, which are not to control the church. But we have that I don't want to be a misconstrued idea, the evil spirit from the Lord. That wasn't a spirit sent from heaven. It was just showing the dominion of God, that even over the spirits, the dominion, the demonic that had fallen, he still had authority over him, and he sent one of them to torment Saul.
Good pen, or permitted it to go, right?
Well, think about it. When the spirit, when they saw Jesus coming, he says, if you come to torment us before time, they already knew he had all authority. So that spirit didn't come from heaven. That spirit, he just looked at one of the demonic. He said, I want you to go trouble him. And you know what they said? That the devil is more obedient to God than the doggone churches, Coach. That devil went, okay, okay, I will.
Great perspective, man. That's a great perspective. Dave Allison or Sherry.
Yeah, that's 1 Samuel 16, and it specifically said the evil spirit was sent by the Lord. And it says it twice in that chapter. And what is interesting, though, and just like Craig pointed out, the spirit departed from Saul, and it was given, and it said it fell upon David, and he said he had it forevermore from on him. But what is interesting in that story, and I think as part of my study, is Saul, guess how he got the spirit? Because it wasn't in him, it was on him. And guess how he got, drove the spirit away? I'll give you one guess.
Well, Dave, here's what I see as I read that scripture, which is, let me pull it up here. Here's what I see. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Isn't it amazing that the evil spirit couldn't come till the Holy Spirit had departed? Isn't that something there, right? Cool. So again, remember 2 Thessalonians, for this cause, God sends a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And a lot of times, delusions are a form of judgment. What are we going to do with it? It's a form of judgment. Man, I don't know how I got here. I'll try to get out. Go ahead, Judah. Go.
Yeah, Coach, it's fascinating. Is the world's waking up to this whole topic?
Yep.
How many people, and the number is countless, of all the different types of cancers, of a loved one or a sister or a brother or a father or a mother that's died, that really died in vain? There was a solution in the market.
Hidden.
And the profiteers profited off of their pains and their sufferings.
Yep.
And then the pharmaceutical companies raised the prices. The point of this is that every time Donald Trump mentions something, he does something, there's a point to it. Implementing or executive orders or doing whatever, the pharmaceutical companies, when do you think they'll actually drop their prices?
Right after they try to kill him.
but think about this. So he told everybody, hey, they have to drop their prices, but they won't. And if they don't, at what point do people start going, you know what? We the people have to throw these people out. Because every congressman and every senator has 2 to 3 handlers from pharmaceutical companies.
Yep.
And what he's doing is he's shaking the hornet's nest. He's shaking people up to say, get involved.
Amen.
And what this means, this is going, where's the puck going to? Where's this skating to? People keep saying, oh, well, I don't know the elections, blah, 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 blah. Well, the last vote, we had an overwhelming aspect. The 2026 vote is very important, and here's why. Because it's going to tilt, not Congress this time, it's going to tilt the Rhino Industrial Medical Complex.
Yeah,
the military industrial complex, this go around of elections, has the ability to get out the tipping board of the Rhino side. And so I implore people, stay in this battle. Stay in this fight, because they have to clear out this other side that's being exposed right now. And when you talk about the pharmaceutical companies, you're talking about the right. You're talking about the rhinos now.
That's right. That's why they're not again. That's why they're not getting behind the MAGA agenda. I can't believe we got to go. I got them stacked up, ready to roll, folks. Go to CoachDaveLive.com, log on, and you can be part of the after show. We got to run. See you tomorrow.